Pixels Podcast, the podcast where we make drunken decisions at night and we regret every single one. I'm one of your hosts, Christian Travis, and with me I have your other host, Sophia Wood. How are we doing today, Sophia?
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to hear about your drunken decision.
Oh, God. Sophia, it's been bad.
You're an idiot.
I woke up. All right. Quick backstory, everyone. So last night, I had a few drinks. By a few, I mean I had like five or six. And I found myself going down this review hole for Google Stadia. And I was watching like YouTube videos on reviews and people's impressions so far on just different tech reviewers on my television. And basically, a lot of them were overall concluded, wow, this is still trash. Like, it has a long way to go before it's good. But I saw like a couple reviews saying how the technology works and how it's like it's there, it's just none of the features are there. So like people are praising it for the leap in technology, but scolding it, I guess, for its promises being not delivered on. Sophia, does that make sense?
So I've only seen bad things.
Okay.
And considering it's Google, they're making you pay for every single little piece, including all the games.
Yes.
All of it. Like,
yes.
It's not like, oh, I bought this. But yet you bought it.
I didn't get there. You just spoiled it.
I mean, I feel like it was kind of... He texted me and he was
okay, so...
I got Google Stadia last night.
No,
and then why?
That's not what happened. What happened was I purchased it last night while I was drunk, and I just wanted to see how the technology worked, because I'm finding it really interesting that just the concept of streaming, and I really want to see how that latency works out, especially because that controller that you use is going to connect directly to the Wi-Fi, as opposed to if you used one of your personal controllers that connects through Bluetooth then goes through Wi-Fi, so there's one more middleman there. But Sophia messaged me this morning. She goes, did you get Stadia? I feel like you got Stadia. And then I woke up to that message, and I was just like, yes, I got really drunk last night and I purchased Stadia. And then she like scolded me.
I just psychically knew that you'd made a bad decision.
Yeah, it was
just that connected.
Yeah.
I'm gonna read out the text messages.
Oh God.
You said, I bought Stadia while I was drunk last night, LOL. And I said, you didn't, you idiot. It's so bad. Can you get a refund? And you were like, oh, I wanted to get the controller and the Chromecast because I have Google Mini at home, whatever. And I was like, can you get a refund? And he was like, yeah. I should probably cancel that. Like, why? It's so shitty and laggy. There's so much better stuff out there.
Well, I feel like, I mean, this is neither here nor there, but... over time I could find a use for the Chromecast, but that shouldn't like justify the purchase. But I'm really just hoping that Google realizes that this whole model they're using, like marketing model and payment methods and stuff, they realize it doesn't work once xCloud comes out, and they like readjust it and make it more of a subscription service, or just a better situation. Like, there's no reason why I should be paying to stream in 4K. Like, 4K is like almost the new standard at this point, and I have a 4K.
Oh yeah, especially with all the new consoles and stuff.
Yeah,
out.
So like if 4K wasn't like a monthly payment, I would have no problem buying these games like once they come out through Stadia, but it's the fact that I have to pay monthly, even in between the time. I mean, I could always cancel it, but that's going to, like, who's going to actually go and cancel the membership in between games coming out? And it's just, I don't know. It's not.
No one should buy this.
I might cancel it because it was a drunken decision. I also bought, like, one other thing while I was drunk, but it was actually something I needed. Which was, I got a new iPad, and I got it off secondhand. I got it secondhand off of Amazon, and they sent me a charger.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's nice. I got it for like $110 cheaper than it normally would be, and I always like a bargain. But they sent me a charger that doesn't belong to the iPad, And it's one of those, like, 5-watt chargers. So it takes, like, a year for this iPad to charge up. So I bought, like, a new... Not, like, it takes significantly longer. But I...
Oh, yeah, I didn't think you meant a year.
But, so I bought, like, a 30-watt charger that was, like, $22 on Amazon while I was drunk last night, too. But, you know, that's something I needed. That's something that... Oh, the phone's ringing. The phone is ringing. But...
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
I hate you so much.
Yes, I too am a child of the 90s into the 2000s. But yeah, anyway.
That must have been late 2000s, because Priya watched that nonstop.
Yeah, it was late 2000s. It was definitely late 2000s, because I started working at Toys R Us in, like, 2012, and I think they were just ending the show. And yeah. We would make jokes whenever the phone rang, and we'd sing that song. Anyway. Anyway, that was my Google Stadia situation. I might cancel it. I might keep it just to review it. I'm also just a gaming collector, so having, like, one of the first editions of something that fails in gaming might be, like, valuable in the future.
I could just picture going to your house and it's, like, behind glass, and you just pick a plaque that's, like, failed. Google Stadia, but, do not touch. Will explode.
But would you not, like... not think it would go for a high price if this whole thing blew up and failed?
No.
Really?
No,
really?
I think
it would be. No. It'd be like in a video game museum. But anyway.
You're just trying to trick yourself into thinking you made a good purchase.
I mean, I know it wasn't a good purchase. I'm just saying, if I decide not to cancel it, then there could be a use for it.
Yeah, dismantling it.
Yeah.
Putting it on a stick to show Google that we don't stand for this.
Walks up to Google, walks up to Google's headquarters and just smashes it in front of them.
Yes. That's our plan.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, okay. So
you want to move on?
Yeah, so basically, guys, this week Sophia is she gathered most of this news. Recently just got a new job, so I've been a little overwhelmed with that, but in between I've been playing video games, so we're gonna go through Sophia's news, and then at the end I have, like, one news about Black Friday, one piece of news that's about Black Friday, and then just, like, I've been playing a lot of new games in between my time, so we're gonna talk about those newer games. Oh, also, again, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you've noticed, or maybe you haven't because we're not that significant, we've been on, like, a hiatus for, like, 2 weeks.
Okay.
I posted in the first face in our Facebook group, Pixels podcast. I can't speak today. That we were going on hiatus for 1 week, but we ended up going on hiatus for two. The second time was my fault because I started this new job. The first time Sophia was visiting family and we just couldn't schedule a time. But yeah, so we should be going back to weekly. Things might get a little crazy during the holidays, but we'll try to make up for it. If Sophia's busy or I'm busy, maybe we could just record, like, a brief 20-minute thing just to post up about anything that's valuable in video game news for that week, you know? But yeah, anyway, so we're gonna get into our news. And yeah, Sophia, you want to start us off?
Yeah, so I've got a few bits. We'll just go through them. Have you ever played Gris?
No, I haven't, but that's also on my backlog.
I've never played it either, but again, it's in my backlog and I really want to play it. So, the Fabulous app ripped off Gris.
Oh, really?
And it, like, with it, all its artwork, like, it looks exactly the same. So it started, it was just this huge drama I saw on Twitter where Gris kind of tweeted and was like, oh, look at this, it's exactly the same. I think that the app replied, similar to you, we're a small startup inspired by the things we love. We have removed the video as a preemptive action and we're investigating. We're privately contacted developer Digital to resolve this. Any wrongdoing on our part is certainly not intentional. And then Fabulous CEO Sami Ben Hassan has also shared a more detailed response, saying Fabulous has a mission to help people lead healthier lives, and we started this 5 years ago from the very beginning. And as we are gamers ourselves, we were inspired by games like Journey, Monument Valley, and books like The Little Prince and The Alchemist to create our universe. So pretty much it sounds like they have just a team of freelance artists, so I'm not sure if maybe one of the artists kind of drew inspiration from Gris and it didn't go well. I look at it, it does look really similar to the amount where it cannot be copied because it's like frame by frame the same thing, just slightly like different colors or different shapes, but it's pretty much the same. Hopefully they can resolve this because both of them are kind of like small companies. It's not like someone huge like Ubisoft stole all this. So I just thought it was like huge Twitter drama and I saw it everywhere. Yeah. So I wanted to cover it. Yeah. What do you think about
it? I'm looking at artwork for Gris right now on my iPad. And you said the Fabulous app, that's a health app. What is this? Like,
yeah. So I got it to check out the artwork and stuff. And it's like, that. And it wakes, Chris just showed me it on
a podcast is not a visual medium. So, yes, I just pointed my phone at Sophia to confirm that this was the app that we're looking at.
So pretty much I downloaded it and I didn't really keep it for long because it didn't really help me very much. It's kind of like, okay, every morning you're going to drink water and check off. And then after 3 days, we're going to add, you're going to eat a healthy breakfast and check that off and kind of build healthy habits.
Gotcha.
You have to pay for all of it. So I don't think I didn't really keep it for long because I wake up early and drink water and eat breakfast anyway.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. Like, you know, if you need that little push in your life to be like, oh, I better eat or drink or whatever. The artwork just off the bat from what they had didn't look similar, but I think the video they posted and stuff like that did.
Yeah, so, I'm looking at this right now and I don't see anything too similar. Like maybe color palette wise, it looks like similar themed. Like,
no, I think they posted a video or something like that. Like it was off.
Oh,
and they've taken it down. Okay,
sorry. My brain didn't work there for a second.
Are you okay?
That's kind of weird. I mean, and when I took media classes, we were told certain assets and stuff can be used if for something else, if it was a different niche in the market. So, like, if it wasn't pertaining to video games, example, this is, like, a health app, and they were just using that kind of style to advertise for it. It's not that it's not illegal. It's just harder to sue for it.
That sounds like exactly what they did. Yeah, I think the issue, it wasn't like, oh, we're going to see you. It's more like, look at what, because Gris, it was a smaller indie video game, so it's more of like, they're stealing our stuff.
Yeah, because
that's why they just did it on Twitter.
Yeah, I think that's like, the problem. I think because you're dealing with a smaller developer, and, like, you know, they don't have the funds to sue or, like, you know, get people to take immediate action, so that they kind of get like offended that you ripped off their artwork. But, you know, you know, it's just, I think
I wanted to bring it up to see it as a whole, like in all the video game industry, because I feel like we see stuff like this a lot, where a game comes out, it's a big hit, so then suddenly every other game does a similar thing or uses a similar concept. Even Fallen Order, they said it's a lot like Dark Souls.
Yes.
Outer Worlds, it's a lot like Fallout. So I guess I'm kind of wondering, where do we draw the line? Obviously, with straight up stealing artwork, that's definitely over a line. But I guess the question is, like, where is the line? At what point are you like, hold on, we're not going to support this because they did this? Whereas, like, no one's saying, we're not going to get Fallen Order because they stole from Dark Souls.
Yeah, I mean, the tough part there is, people like to compare things to other things they already find familiar to begin with. So, you're always going to have someone do that at some point, no matter what item, what product, what, like, if you're explaining something to someone and they have no concept of what it is, and then, like, you want them to get a better grasp of something, you're of course going to compare it to something that they might find familiar, you know? So, but I think that's a little different than stealing artwork. It's kind of like a gray area or like theme or whatever,
artwork,
you know?
100%, especially with freelancers, it's very personal, even if it's for a video game. So I understand with that.
Yeah, Sophia, keep talking. I'm gonna go turn off the phone in my room. That way I don't get harassed with phone calls in this house.
You want to keep talking?
You want to just talk about your opinions. You talk to our audience.
I'm scared now. All
right, well, I'm leaving right now. Goodbye.
Okay. I felt like I'm left babysitting the children. So, I'm going to keep talking about Gris. I think you guys should tell us what you think on Twitter or Instagram. Tell us, do you like Gris? Do you like this app? Where do you think the line should be drawn for us not stealing, but just, I guess, sharing ideas? Because in a way, when companies do have new ideas, we need to keep them to keep going. So for Outer Worlds, they talk about capitalism and all that, and I would like to see that again. That doesn't mean they're stealing from Outer Worlds, or even if it does mean they're stealing from Outer Worlds, I'd still like to see it more. So I guess it depends at what point is it stealing, and what point is it just the furthering an idea.
Yeah, that's, I'm back, by the way, if you couldn't tell. Yeah, so overall, that topic is just, like, I think it's a good conversation. I think that, I think... You're like, what you're saying, that's right. Like I want to hear what other people say, because it could go either way. It's like, it could tip in one's favor or in the others, you know. But yeah, I mean, like, let's see how they handle the situation, and hopefully both companies can find a way to resolve this situation peacefully, you know.
Yeah,
but
okay, let's
yeah, but on. We can keep tabs on that in the future.
So, Chris, just have a real quick guess on how you think Fallout 76 is doing right now.
that game makes me laugh. Let me guess. Activities going down, or people are getting angry at it for another thing that they did?
No, keep going. You're not going to guess what's happening, but it's fine.
Maybe... they're shutting down the servers and people just paid for, like, to play with friends. I don't know. Now I want to know, Sophia. You've piqued my curiosity.
There is a full-out class war going on in Fallout 76.
What do you mean?
So, the people who bought Fallout 76, like the subscription,
okay,
have a new name called the Apocalypse Aristocracy.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
And it sounds crazy, but there's an actual class war going on in Fallout. So, we all know the story of Fallout 76 by now. It was shit, they made it kind of better, now they're charging money for the subscription to an already buggy game, blah, blah, blah. There have been reports of bullying online from a few new sources, but I've read sources saying the reports are false, and by the large, most people don't really care, aren't being bullied for being part of the elite, whatever you want to call it. However, even from the report that said, no, it's all false, there were still a few true stories out there about harassment on the game. Mm-hmm. So Patricia Hernandez on Polygon said she spoke with a couple players who claimed that a crew of players wearing bear costumes hanged up on him for performing an emote, exclusive to Fallout First subscribers. So I think this begs for the conversation of we need to have on this show about paying for subscriptions and extra stuff on games. Because in many, many cases, it does give those who can afford it a huge advantage. And no one wants to pay for a game and then find out the only way to actually enjoy being part of the game is to pay another $100 a year.
Yeah.
So in Fallout 76, there has indeed become a division between people paying for these extra benefits and people who see those people some sort of enemy. And it's wild it's wild that people are seeing fellow players as the enemy instead of the company, because that is a classic tactic that capitalism plays right now in real life, where it's not the elite that's the issue, it's the middle class, and it's not the middle class, it's the poor, whatever, like, you know. Yeah. What I mean, I'm not really going to politics, but this is kind of a similar thing where it's not the company's fault for charging, it's the people's fault for going along with it. On Polygon, it was reported that sometimes you couldn't even discuss the subscription without getting yelled at. You couldn't even say, oh, how much is it worth it, blah blah blah, because people would just drown you out. There are memes, jokes, arguments. In the end, I think the subscribers are only trolling those getting angry at them, and I can't really blame them, because this entire situation is insane. There's memes about being, like, better than the rest and calling the people peasants and stuff for not being able to afford it. but it's more like stroking an already blazing fire. It's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. There's a whole new server for people who can afford it, and it is. It's just player against player at this point.
Yeah.
Fallout 76 might not be perfect, but there are people that genuinely enjoy the game and want to pay for it. Should they have to pay for it? No, I don't think so. But it's up to them where they spend their money, and I think the only part that people should be getting angry at is the company.
I just... Okay, so this is one of those situations where, you know, I'm gonna go off of what you're saying. Like, people play a game to have fun with their friends, and some games, there's a progression system, which is part of the game. Like, you enjoy the grind, or like to get a certain rank, or to, like, you know, it being a specific rank in a game. And forgive me, I don't play a lot of these games that, like, shooting or like ranking games or any of those things, but my understanding is when you work hard and you get that title and it shows up in the game, you feel good about it. So it sucks to, like, I guess, get to a specific rank or you know, for someone to just pay into a higher rank, you know? So yeah. if I've spent hours on end to get to a specific situation or a place where I'm happy with my gameplay, and then, like, my friend joins and then just pays a certain amount and is already a higher rank than I am, that would make me upset. I'm getting more and more angry every time this phone rings. My family's
honestly, I'm ready for you to throw this phone out the window.
It's because, and the craziest part, and I'm going to share this with the entire world, is I told my family I'm recording, and what do? My mom sent my father out to go shopping, and he's calling every 2 minutes, I guess, because he has a question about what to pick up. So I'm getting more and more angry, and I don't know how to just turn the phone off in general, so I have to click the mute button every time a phone call comes in. Isn't that just lovely?
Why don't you just take the batteries out?
I think they're, like, wired in. Let me see. Oh, no, they're double A's. I thought it was a wired battery. Ha ha, Sophia, we did it.
I know. I'm a genius. And
welcome to
the... But you didn't think about the batteries.
Welcome to the Pixels Podcast, guys, where we help each other through traumatic experiences, one battery at a time.
Life decisions.
Anyway, what were we... I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
We were just talking about... I think it just sucks that people are making this a player-versus-player issue instead of a player-versus-company issue.
Yeah, you know, it's... I think we like to turn on ourselves, and we like to put people down, so we're willing to play along with whatever someone throws into the ring as ammunition, you know?
Yeah, I can understand getting angry about it, that people are actually paying into this, especially if you really like the game and you can't afford it, and these people are just blowing right past you. But, I wouldn't... It's not worth it getting angry at each other.
Oh, yeah, no, honestly.
Especially since you don't know who's behind those screens. Like, their entire paycheck could be going towards this game because it means something to them.
Yeah, or they could be a psychopath and just like to piss people off with their higher rank. Yeah, who knows?
Well, that, I guess.
This is why me and Sophia hosting is so... Sophia and I? Me and Sophia?
Sophia and
Thank you. Sophia's a writer. This is why she's here for me.
this is when I'm super wrong and everyone floods Twitter, but it's not.
Yeah, you're going to have a hashtag trending about Sophia was wrong.
Hashtag Sophia was wrong. Yeah. Hashtag Sophia and I.
Yes. Anyway, I like that you're here because we reach two different sides of the spectrum. Sometimes you'll be super critical about something and then I'll be like, yeah, or they're just an a-hole.
Yeah, I feel like that's fair. Yeah. Maybe they have a deep trauma that connects to the game. Well, they're a dick.
Just very simple. But yeah, so, you know, honestly, my overall thoughts on Fallout 76 is that that service needs to
stop.
I don't want to say stop because there's some people that really enjoy it, but
But give it to people for free. It's not worth the money.
Give it 100% free, and then make the subscription much cheaper, and then don't touch it.
Yeah.
Fix the flaws, put out a patch here and there, but don't expand on it. Don't do anything, because this is like a PR disaster. Every time there's an update, there's something that's pissing someone off. You know?
Yeah.
So that my honest opinion is make subscriptions cheaper, make it free to play, and don't update it anymore.
I know. You know what? I would even disagree. They should update it, but they should update it to make it a better game, because there is that. You could make it really good. You could make it just a good game, but they don't.
Yeah, no.
And I feel like at this point it might be on purpose, because
it's
this is
too
crazy.
Late at this point. It's like ridiculous. It gets me angry, you know, to think that what is it, Bethesda? Yeah, they just keep.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know when to stop. They keep going. Something fails or something causes an issue. And either PR is like, oh, any news is good news. Or they're just like stupid. They're like, oh my God, let's fix it by doing this. And then it becomes worse. And they're like, oh no, let's fix it by doing this. And then it becomes worse. It's just, they don't know what they're doing there. But anyway, let's move on from that subject. Because we could talk about freaking Fallout 76. Till the cows come home.
I don't really know what to do with this.
Yes, I just used the phrase till the cows come home. Sophia?
Oh.
Did I just...
Okay, you're moving now.
Oh.
You were just frozen for ages.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, cool. Anyway.
That's okay. We can use this as a jumping point into...
Oh yes, I'm so excited. I haven't had time to play it, but I'm going to buy it at some point during this holiday season.
Did you buy it? You're gonna buy it. Okay. In that case, I'm gonna run through everything I know about it, and then we can at the very end we'll just go back and forth.
Yeah.
So I personally have absolutely no idea how I feel about this. In a nutshell, good gameplay, bad story is what I've heard.
Okay.
So I think this is going to divide a lot of players, especially for people like me and you. I love the story. You love the gameplay. You're going to like it. I'm going to hate it.
You're probably 100% right. I love a good gameplay.
So for gameplay...
A good gameplay? I love
good
gameplay.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think you're really going to like this. I've seen a few complaints. It's not perfect. The game loading times are really bad for the amount of times you die, because every time you die in combat, it reloads. And apparently you die a lot.
Oh, you know what I heard
because
about that too?
To
is apparently I think they used the load times for as a punishment, because apparently if you play in a specific mode, it doesn't give you a load screen. It just pops you back into the last place you spawned. So in specific modes, when you see that loading screen, I think they said that not EA. Well, EA put it out, but what's the name of the division that put it out? I forgot. But they're saying that they put that in there probably just to make it like more agonizing every time you die.
See, I hate that. That's really annoying. I haven't read that, but I could see that being true, and I hate it. Because games shouldn't make you... shouldn't be purposely frustrating when they don't need to be. And there's no fast travel, which I hate, because I hate having to backtrack through an entire planet to get to one place, to another place. It kills me in Skyrim when you can't do that, when you have too much stuff, or you can't do it from a house. It killed me in Outer Worlds when I'm one place and I have to go to my ship to travel to another planet to then go somewhere on that voyage. And fast travel was good in Outer Worlds, but it's still, I feel like when you're at end, when you're literally just running errands to get those last few quest bits, it really kills you.
Oh, did you 100%
so
it?
That's gonna be really annoying.
Did you 100% Outer Worlds?
Hell yeah.
Oh
I
my
did.
God, you're a psychopath.
Let's keep going.
Okay, we'll talk about that later.
So, overall though, it was pretty decent. I think the biggest bit that people like is that, well, there's two main bits. One is that you're supposed to feel like a real Jedi, so the lightsaber is actually supposed to be like a one hit and they die. So the biggest kind of thing that they want you to do is parry and block.
Okay.
So, and that they get a lot from Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the whole finding thing of if it hits, you die. So you're gonna, it's just all a parrying until you can finally hit. It's not like you just have to keep hitting it until a big thing dies, which I do enjoy. I think it, I like the fight smart, not hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same thing for each foe has its own pattern and different ways to beat it. So you again, you have to play smart. You have to figure out what weakness is. And I've seen so many guides of this is how you beat this foe. This is how you beat this foe. So I guess a lot of people are really digging into it and figuring out what the best way to do it, how to beat.
Yeah, I enjoy some of that though. Mm-hmm. Like I enjoy like communities coming together to make guides and stuff like that, yeah, to benefit the people that play in the future. Like that's why I love IGN, like because of those walkthroughs and those guides and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I do enjoy like a guide, but I hate the games where you can't play without one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you get to those puzzles and it's like, oh, you have to do this the whole time. It's like, I would have sat there for 3 hours and never guessed to do that.
Well, I've... Because
it's just so random.
That is my situation with Link's Awakening. I'm stuck at a specific part and I know I need a guide and I just haven't picked one up. So I haven't played Link's Awakening past the third dungeon.
Yeah, see, that's the issue that can stop you playing. And I think for me, that would stop me playing pretty quick. Unless if it's a game, because I've played those games where you have to have just a guide open the whole time to get there, and you're just like, ugh. So anyway, the story has been very discouraging. The main character is the same bland male protagonist you usually find in games like these. The side characters aren't much better that I've heard. The story is supposed to be about dealing with trauma, but when you compare it to games like Outer Worlds, where it's just like capitalism and making choices and what you do matters, it doesn't sound as fun, where it's like, no, you're just on a dark quest dealing with your PTSD and trauma.
I actually, you know, that being said, I like the actor they used for him, the protagonist.
I'm sure he's great. I'm sure he's doing a great job with what he can. I just don't think they've given him much to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I heard he has some cool one-off lines that he says every once in a while. Like, I was listening to one of IGN's podcasts. I forget which one. And apparently, like, he walks past, like, some trash or something. And he was like, look, it's me. And I was like, wow, that's relatable content right there.
But they only put that in to make, relatable, like, people like us be like, oh, it's a meme. In the Star Wars game.
I know,
game.
I love that, though.
I hate that. I know, I hate it, because I'm like, you don't even know what that means. You just read that on Twitter and was like, quick, put some millennial memes
oh
in there.
God. Yeah, but I see what you mean, though. I enjoy, like, as we've said a million times, I love gameplay. That's why I love Pokemon games, because the stories aren't too crazy, but there's strategy involved in them, and the mechanics about for leveling up your Pokemon and everything, you know, it's just like it overall, it's just, that's my thing. But if something's as grueling as what's the game that I was playing a couple weeks ago, oh my god, it's off the top of my head, I can't think of it right now, but I was playing a game the other day and I was literally like, why am I playing this? Like, the gameplay is so straightforward and the story, I could probably predict how this is going to end. Why am I playing this? You know?
Was it Resident Evil?
No, it was not Resident Evil. I love Resident Evil.
Excuse me.
I'm offended that
Resident
you even
Evil
think of such a thing.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's not perfect,
sorry,
but it's pretty
my bad.
Great. But yeah, so it's just, when you get to a certain point and you're looking at a game, like, am I playing this just to play it and say I finished it, or am I playing this because it's something I'm genuinely interested in? If you're even asking yourself that question, then odds are you're probably not interested in the game.
You probably shouldn't. From what I heard, the Star Wars game is just, it's straightforward and unremarkable, and maybe something you want to pick up when it's on sale. Not something you should be spending loads of money on now.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm probably going to pick it up anyway.
I mean, you're going to do it because you're whipped.
I just love good gameplay.
I think you might enjoy this one. Honestly.
Yeah, and to be fair, I'm probably not going to pick it up until we're farther into the holiday season, so I might pick it up on sale. It may not be a huge sale, but yeah, I might save a couple bucks, you know? But yeah, so I'm looking forward to playing the game. I heard reviews were great. I heard there's some funny bugs in it that still need to be fixed, but nothing game-breaking, so, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I heard, so I don't think I'm going to do it. I was going to buy it, and now I'm thinking it's probably not going to be my thing. I'll probably get bored after an hour, and I'd rather spend my money on something else.
I just saw one of the future topics on your list, and I'm excited because I haven't played a specific game that you're going to talk about later, and I'm...
Is it number five?
Yes, it's number five, but I haven't read
it. Okay, well, let's talk about number four first. Actually, no, we can talk about number five. We'll go back and forth.
Yay!
So... Number five is Detroit Become Human is finally coming to PC.
Woo!
And I'm so excited. I haven't played it. I'm 100% asking for it for Christmas. I've already asked if I could buy it. It's going to be coming December 12th on the Epic Games Store. Mm-hmm. This is something I can say 100% you should pre-order because it was huge when it went on PlayStation. I've heard about it so much. Even the people who rarely buy video games have bought this one if they have a PlayStation.
Yeah, sorry to cut into you.
I was going
to
tell them what it is. Let me tell them what it is first.
And then we'll go into it.
So this is a game I've been looking forward to again, and it's about what makes us human. So I'm going to read out loud. They enter the near future metropolis of Detroit in 2038, a city rejuvenated by the introduction of highly advanced androids that exist only to serve mankind. But that's all about to change. Step into the shoes of three distinct android characters as this brave new world teeters on the brink of chaos. Your decisions dramatically alter how the game's intense, branching narrative plays out. With thousands of choices and dozens of endings, how will you affect the future of Detroit? Which sounds epic. I love narratives, so this is perfect for me. You get to play three different characters, which I always love three when it's separate storylines that link together in games.
Yeah, me too.
And you know what I mean? I love it. So I think this is going to be a really good one. If you haven't played it already.
Yeah, actually, I literally have a list written down. I don't think it's near me. I'll read it next episode of like games that have been on my backlog that I want to pick up during the holiday season just to see if they're on sale or something.
Can you share that list with me, cuz I need ideas.
Yeah, I'll see where I put it, and I'll send it to you before the end of the day. But
fantastic.
But
I want it on my desk by mid-afternoon, Chris.
We're already recording past afternoon, but...
Oh, I don't know what time it is for you.
Yeah, it's almost one. But anyway, so Detroit Become Human is like the second thing on the list. Again, as you said, not revolutionary, but highly anticipated, highly hyped game once it came out. And at the time... it came out, I believe I still had a regular PlayStation, and I was like, this game's graphics look great. I'm going to wait until I get a PS4 Pro to play it, because I want to just see it as good as possible, especially because it's a story-based game. But I just never ended up getting around to picking it up. So I'm really looking forward to it coming to PC, because now more people are going to get to play this game. I'm going to probably experience this at some point. And to be quite honest, maybe I'll get it for my old laptop. I'm not sure. I'm thinking about it because, like, this might be
I think it's going to need some power behind it.
I was thinking about it because like, it'd be nice to just walk around with it. But also, if I get it in my PlayStation,
that's true.
If I put it in my PlayStation, I could just download the PS4 Remote Play app and play it off my phone. The only thing is...
Oh, you should do that. Yeah,
only thing is you have to have, like, incredibly good Wi-Fi. Like, I brought my phone and tried to do it at work, and it just didn't work at work because our Wi-Fi wasn't that good. So, we'll see. Oh. We'll see as it comes out. We'll see what I end up doing because the holiday season's approaching, and I'll be buying things.
Okay, so... my next piece of news is just going to be a whole bunch of Xbox stuff that I'm going to breeze through. Because they came out with a lot of stuff recently. Yes. So the first thing is Xbox Gold Pass has new games and quests. So you were asking about this earlier. Xbox Game Pass Quests is kind of, you can get, so Xbox has this whole system of, if you use Bing and you use Microsoft Edge and you play games on Xbox, you get points. And eventually these points build up and you can use them to buy, you can either enter kind of lotteries and giving like away things. Huh. You can get gift cards, stuff like that. For me, I don't really use it much because I haven't been able to play Xbox, obviously, because I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't work for PC games, and I don't use Bing.
People who are, this is their first episode, or we weren't very clear in past episodes. Sophia currently is overseas in Europe. Because Europe, yes. No, my brain.
England, yeah. Okay.
I mean, that.
I'm away at school in England.
Yes, I'm sorry, my brain's like not working.
I do live in America, so I don't have a lot of my stuff with me. I just bring my laptop and a controller.
She does own an Xbox, she just can't bring it overseas with her. Plus, she has one of the original Xboxes that would weigh like 1 million pounds in her luggage. Like. But yes, anyway, Sophia, get back to what you're saying. I wanted to clarify that you weren't at home.
So now, if you have Xbox Game Pass, you can play quests. So it's just getting achievements through different games, and then they give you points, and then that will build your points up. So you can, again, buy stuff with it and everything. All of this is running until December 19th. In order to participate in the preview, you need to either be an Xbox Game Pass for console owner or Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscriber, and you need to be enrolled in the Xbox Insider Ring. Even if Xbox Game Pass, you can still browse quests, but you can't get points. So
Microsoft is raking in the money.
They are, and I do hope this is a thing. I think from what I've read, it is something that they're going to continue after December 19th. They're going to include PC. They're going to do, which is a really good idea because I can't participate because I only have my PC, which is really annoying because I played Outer Worlds and I played Oxenfree just this week. So that would have been so many achievements. So I really hope they do stuff like this because it'll get people playing more and you can literally play for money, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. If I had the patience and time to set all that up, I probably would do it too, but... to be honest, I've been so busy that I haven't even been playing that many games on my Xbox. I've been using my Switch more.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like during this holiday season, I wouldn't even be racking up anything for that. But it's good to have that option.
I think you probably have to play and replay certain games to get the achievements.
Oh, yeah. I don't have time to sit down and replay games that I've played in the past right now. But especially during this holiday season when all this stuff is coming out. But yeah, it's nice to have that option. They're adding more and more programs for people to be able to participate in, so that's awesome.
This is just all for Xbox. So this next part is just completely from VG247 by Sheriff Saeed, I think his name is.
Okay.
So yeah, just because I've used loads of his quotes, so I feel like I need to tell you that I used him. Xbox, so we're going to talk about Xbox Play Anywhere for a bit. Microsoft's cross-device compatibility that allows players to buy the game once and then own it on all Microsoft platforms, with saves and achievements carrying over between devices, and won't be abandoned when the next generation rolls out, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Because when Xbox 360 moved to Xbox One, there was this whole issue of everything rolling over. For example, a game like Halo Infinite, which is launching on three platforms, PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Scarlet, will be the first to bring Play Anywhere to new consoles.
Awesome.
I think this is fantastic because I'm a person who both accidentally and deliberately has bought a game on multiple devices, and it's really, really annoying.
Oh, I can imagine.
Especially because I'm in England and I really want to buy games I love all over again, even though I know I shouldn't. So it'd be great if I could play Skyrim on my laptop because I already have it on Xbox. Because right now I have all of the Bioshock games on both. I have Arkham Knight on both, and I've only completed both halfway, but at different points. So now I have to redo loads of quests on each one. It's really annoying.
Yeah, that...
So it's fantastic that this is going to be a thing.
Yeah, I like that we're getting into this this point in time where things are starting to become more ubiquitous, I guess. Like things are like companies are able to work with different with different platforms to make sure all gamers have the best experience switching between things as possible, you know? So I'm happy to see that we're just going further and further into this business model where people are just like, this needs to be a thing. This needs to be included. Or
I think this has needed to be a thing for so long, and I never thought they'd do it, because I'm just like, why would they give up all that money? Because that is a lot of money to, like, think about it. Think about how much the Bioshock games cost. And I've bought, I think I've bought all three of them on both PC and Xbox, which is a stupid amount of money.
Yeah, I completely, I see exactly what you're saying.
Do you agree? Yeah. Yeah. But I'm overjoyed that this is a thing.
Yeah. What else was, there was something else that was on your Xbox list that I found was interesting.
I've got
oh my god, wait, I thought I was at I accidentally scrolled towards the end while we were talking, and I was like, wasn't there something else we didn't talk about? But it's just because scrolled past it.
Another Xbox thing, I'm gonna talk about xCloud and Project Scarlet. What one do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Project Scarlet, because then we could discuss about xCloud at the end.
So this is gonna be just taken from Xbox's website. Project Scarlet will set a new bar for console power, speed, and performance, arriving holiday 2020, and also Halo Infinite. It's got a bunch of things that we don't really need to go over. It's just details. I think the overview is that it is much more powerful, runs better, looks better, and it is only, where is the money? $4.99 in the US, which is crazy. I think it's about half of what Xbox One was, right? Do you remember how much Xbox One was when it first came out?
No, it was going to be... It came out at $4.99.
Oh, did it? Wow,
yeah, it came with the Kinect, too.
I still think it's lower than what everyone was expecting, considering how powerful this is going to be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm excited because now I know I'm going to be spending the same amount that I did on my last console, which makes sense to me. Yes. But it's going to have all these extra features that I expect from, like, a PC built into this box.
The only issue is that Microsoft doesn't have anything to say about VR on the Xbox yet, even though Sony has already confirmed PSVR will work on its next console. So I would hope that they're combining things. We might have to wait until the next generation, though, which sucks, because that puts them majorly behind.
Yeah, but, you know, I feel like Microsoft's launch for the Xbox One was so bad that they're really trying to cover all their bases this year and make sure they have every little base covered. For all we know, they could have, like, a whole VR plan already, like, outlined and ready to be implemented that they're just holding on until the moment they, like, launch the console, you know? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they've planned every single, like, extensively planned every single aspect of this launch down to the T, because they don't want a repeat of what happened with their last launch of a console.
I guess I'm just surprised that they haven't said anything if they do have an entire plan for VR.
I don't...
I would have thought they'd say it by now, especially when we know that PSVR is a thing.
Yeah. Sorry, just yawned. I'm very tired. It's been a long week.
Oh, it's been a long year, mate.
I feel that. But yeah, so yeah, I'm looking forward to finding more, finding out more information on Scarlet. Overall, like, I am primarily an Xbox person. I know you are too. So I get excited when I hear stuff about PlayStation, because eventually I'll buy it too. But, like, I didn't buy my PlayStation until, like, a good 2 or 3 years into owning an Xbox. So, like, I'm not as excited for PlayStation stuff as I am to hear all the features that my new Xbox will have.
To be fair, I still haven't bought a PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to, but just for the games. And
well, I got some news for you, Sophia.
It's just not something I'm going to do soon.
I got some news for you. There's a whole bunch of good Black Friday deals for PlayStation.
No, I'm not buying one yet. I cannot afford that. I'm on student loans.
Let's see. Well, so am I, but I still buy things.
No, but, like, I'm living off of student loans.
Oh, okay. I thought you were, like...
I'm not even at that point where I'm in debt. I'm just living off of the meager money I have.
Gotcha. Well, maybe I can persuade you to find a reason to purchase it anyway when we get to our segment on Black Friday deals.
I don't have that money. Maybe next year. I think it might be something for next year when I know where I'm living.
Next year, there will be a different PlayStation.
Yeah, I'll buy that one.
In addition to an Xbox, because they're both being launched within the same month.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm not buying both. Oh, I see the issue. Oh, man.
So, I would buy in while you can.
I wish I was rich.
Yeah, me and you and both, sister. Maybe one day we'll be picked up by a podcast company and they'll pay us to do ads. But till then.
Because so many people have made money off of podcasts. I was going to say PlayStation off of podcasts.
I mean, no, but that.
So loads of people made money off of PlayStation.
Yeah, that's very true. But I'm not talking about just making money off of podcasts. It'd just be the first step into our careers.
Yep. If anyone's listening, I will sell anything.
Yes, if IGN, if you're listening, I would.
McElroy brothers did with sex toys. I don't care.
Wait, I thought we were trying to be PG.
Yeah, well, think about the money.
You just ruined it. Thanks.
My bad.
IGN, if you're listening, please hire me as a reporter. Thank you.
What's that what we're doing now? Hello, anyone listening? Hire me, please.
I'm working two jobs right now. I would love to just report at IGN.
I'm just going to send this as my application.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello,
it's an audio application. Hire me, and you read like eight different types of resumes.
Anyway, we should probably move on.
Yeah, yeah.
So, let's talk about xCloud.
No.
First of all, let me say this isn't from any official website. This is just from my dad, because I trust my dad more than any website, and he knows what's up, because my dad loves this thing. His only issue was that it needs Wi-Fi, obviously, so he can't play on the bus. He said it's good when the internet connection speed is high, so it's good at home, college, Starbucks, not good on cell phone data. We were talking about it the other day, and theoretically, I could play my Xbox games from the UK, which would be unthinkably amazing. He also said there's already like 50 games available in already, and it looks like pretty much just every game is going to work on here, and that's like any other competing services. More quotes from him. The speed of light is going to be a factor, so the latency will be higher the further you live away from a cloud data center. So if you live in the country, 100 miles away from a data center, the play is going to be frustratingly slow. And this is actually one of the issues with Google Stadia, where they have a lot less data centers. So the Google Stadia is going to be a lot more laggy just because of the sheer number of cloud data centers that Microsoft have. Games run in the cloud. So even if your phone is really old, it's going to work just as well as a new one. There's no need to get a new phone for this or anything. The game can have all the rendering details set to high, and it also uses less battery, so it's not going to make your phone hot and, you know, die real quick. So, honestly, I think this is one of the best things Xbox could have done, because at this point, I don't think anyone else has a better service than this, as long as it continues doing well. What do you think?
Well,
because I know you have it.
Yes, within the last week and a half, I've been invited to join the beta, which is, thank you, Xbox, for choosing me, even though I'm sure it had nothing to do with anything. You just randomly chose a dude. Anyway, I'm just going to read off a few of the games that are offered on here, just so you have an idea, because the library is ridiculous compared to Stadia. So we have Gears 5. We have Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown, Ark Survival Evolved, Bloodstained, Borderlands 2, Borderlands the pre-sequel, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Crackdown, Darksiders 3, Dead Island, Devil May Cry 5, Forza Horizon 4, Gears of War Ultimate Edition, Halo 5, Halo Wars 2, Hellblade, Hello Neighbor, Hitman, Just Cause, Killer Instinct, and that's just some of them. There's still, I'm scrolling, there was still another like 15 more, and I skipped around the first few. There's a
good library here.
And the only thing that keeps me from playing this right now, all the time, is the fact that this is only available on Android, and I use an iOS device as my daily driver.
Yeah, that's my issue.
Yeah, so I'm sure eventually they'll open up the beta and like bring it over to iOS, but currently, the only times I'm playing is when I'm home and I want to test out the technology. Obviously, I'm at home, so I could be playing it on my Xbox, but it's really me just being experimenting and seeing how the lag is and how my controller works with it.
Well, also, you said that your Wi-Fi at work isn't great, so I don't even know how well it
would go. There's no purpose of me switching phones and bringing this to work because it won't work on my job's Wi-Fi. But, like Sophia, they have Shadow of the Tomb Raider on here. If this all worked perfectly and I had it, like, in hand, my favorite games are the Tomb Raider games. Like, for both platforms. But I played the second Tomb Raider game like 4 times and completed it. I've only played the third one once, and that's just because I've been busy. But if I had this in my pocket and I had like a quick 45 minutes, I could complete a side quest or something in the meantime, you know? It's like interesting. I'm excited to see how this goes. And the only reason why, again, I'm buying into Stadia right now is because I'm so curious to see. The one feature that differs is that Stadia Remote and how that the connection to the Wi-Fi helps alleviate lag in between things. But like, I'm excited. Okay, I'm excited for the technology. I'm not excited for the subscription services. I'm tired of paying subscription services so much.
I know what you mean, especially with. Like Xbox, what I'm paying right now, and I hate all subscriptions, but I'm paying Amazon, I'm paying Xbox, I want to pay for xCloud when I can. I mean, and that's just for, and I hate subscriptions. Like, I try and avoid them like the plague, and even I can't avoid them entirely. I know. And it's very annoying.
I'd rather give like these companies, like, I take a full paycheck out of the year and just pay all these companies at once, just so I don't have to worry about it for the rest of the year. Yeah. And then.
And also, then you own it forever.
Oh, well, if we're talking about owning, I would even pay them, like, more than just a paycheck worth. Like, I'd be like, if I could just have this for the rest of my life, I will divvy up my paycheck in half just so I could just not worry about this.
Because then you can always lose it as soon as you stop paying them. Yeah. That's the worst.
But I guess that's how Microsoft's going to make the money off of it, because you're going to get to play your own games for free. And then if you have Game Pass, you'll be able to play new games on the road, you know? Mm-hmm. So I guess... And once again, their model is a lot better than Stadia, where they're making you pay to play in 4K, and then you have to buy a game anyway, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I digress. That was it, right, for Microsoft news?
Yeah, so that's all I have. Okay. If you want to jump in now with your little bits, and then we can start talking about games.
Yes, okay. So I grabbed this one article just off of IGN because I just like deals and steals and other fun things. and this is basically what I have here is the best Black Friday deals you can buy, including PS4 Slim, PS4 Pro, Xbox One X, Nintendo Switch, and more. And it says in parentheses, updated. And this is written by Eric Song. So he's compiled...
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Eric, because now I know where to look. And he's compiled the best deals all around for our local, not local retailers, but national retailers. And
please tell us.
So far, like, just the beginning part where he lists stuff... for video game deals, the PS4 Slim with 3 games included is going to be $200 on Amazon. Nintendo Switch version 2, the one with the extended battery life, with the Spyro trilogy, will be $289 at Walmart. Xbox One S with your choice of game for $200 on Amazon. PlayStation Pro Call of Duty Modern Warfare bundle for $300 at Amazon, which is nice because it's a pro. And if you like shooters, then that's for you. But I'm not really into shooters, and neither is Sophia. And then
I don't know. I wouldn't say no to
You would say no to a Call of Duty.
That's not the point. Keep going. Yeah, Call of Duty. That's different.
Xbox One X with your choice of game for $349 at Amazon. Sega game. Oh, this one's one of my favorite, and I might pick it up. It's a Sega Genesis Mini for $50 on Amazon. Oh, and if you need like new DualShocks and stuff, they're selling them for $39 at Amazon as well. Oh. And the Xbox controllers are also being sold for $39. I do need a new one as well.
I want a Bluetooth one for my laptop.
Oh yeah, I forgot you have the launch. You have launch controllers, what? Right? For like that came with the Xbox you purchased.
I'm using an Xbox 360 controller for my laptop.
That's
right
funny.
Now.
I forgot.
Yeah, throw it back.
That's great. Oh, 1 year of PS Plus is for $42 at GMG. I'm not familiar with that outlet.
Yes. What are you not familiar with?
GMG.
Oh no, I think we do. I think we've used that before. Let me look it up.
And then just tech.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
GMG.
It has good sales on it.
Okay.
It's like it just sells games. You don't play them on there, but
oh, gotcha.
Them.
Okay. And then Black Friday tech deals. The Fire TV stick is going for $20. Fire TV.
Ooh, okay. Wait. The Outer Worlds is being sold right now for £33 on GMG, which is really good.
I don't know what that converts to in American monies.
It's. Well, I mean, I can't. Oh, yeah.
You're telling
right
the primary viewers are. I think here.
Look, it's gonna be 30% off.
Oh, there you go.
Just
there
go.
You go.
It's gonna be like over. It's over 30% off. So all right. If you want my game. All right.
Stop interrupting me. Let me finish. So. the Fire TV Stick, once again, is being sold for $20, but for an extra $5, you can get the Fire Stick 4K for $25, again on Amazon. Apple AirPods 2 with charging case are on sale for $134, which is a good deal because they were initially higher than $170, so that's almost $50 off. Then we have MSI GE75 Ryder 17-inch RTX 2070 laptop for $14.99 at Walmart. I don't know what that is. I'm not a PC gamer. So if that sounds good to you, hop on that. And then if you're looking for a Vizio 4K QLED TV, it's being sold for $459, and you get a $125 gift card with it at Dell.
Nice.
Then throughout they mention like they go into more details what like for certain things like when it says N3 games like they show you the three games the Last of Us, God of War, and Horizon. Actually, these are great games for the bundle, so I would suggest if you don't have a PlayStation, purchase one now. Not for you specifically, Sophia, but in general.
All right, don't you call me out like this.
And a lot of these Xbox bundles are coming with Fallen Order, which is pretty cool. So if you want to hop right into that game, but you don't have an Xbox, that's a good bundle to go for. Spyro games. Oh, my favorite offer, which I was considering picking up, but I've just spent so much money now, and I know I'm buying little things here and there. The PlayStation VR is going to be sold for $200. And this specific bundle that I'm looking at is from Walmart, and it comes with 5 games, and they're all apparently like the good VR games that are out. Let me see which ones it is. Comes with Astrobot, Resident Evil 7, Biohazard. They have like Skyrim on there, and then I can't really read these other two. I'm looking at the picture, but one of them looks like a golf game, and the other one looks like, you know how like Wii Sports was a thing. It looks like that's their version of Wii Sports just for VR. But that sounds like a good deal. Actually, I clicked on it right now, Sophia, and it's already on sale for $200.
Yeah.
Black Friday didn't start yet, and it's already on sale. So if you're wow. looking for a PSVR, I suggest picking it up, peoples.
Can I add to what? that list for right yeah. now? So there's a Black Friday, like you said, for GMG, there's a Black Friday deal, and if you buy a game with a +5 tag on it, you get to choose from a list of you can pick 5 free games. So the list is Arizona Sunshine, Killing Floor, Neverwinter, Rock Band VR, Civilization 5, Sprint Vector, Star Trek Bridge Crew, Came and Echo, and Warhammer.
That's pretty solid.
And then there's like a bunch of free. I mean, if they're for free, and then like it's the ones with the tag are like Red Dead Redemption 2, Borderlands 3, Outer Worlds, Far Cry. Trying to see ones. Ancestors? You know what Ancestors is? I've never seen that before.
I'm not familiar.
Anyway, I just want to throw that in there for a little bit of Black Friday deals.
Yeah. But yes, so basically there's a lot of good deals out there. If you're a smart shopper, if you've been holding off on specific things, waiting for them to go on sale, this is probably one of the best years to pick up a console, certain games. We're in the last year of a lot of these consoles' lifespans, so for anyone who doesn't have one of these consoles already, pick it up. I'm jealous of you because you're picking up a console and you have a million games to go through on the quote-unquote launch or a day of receiving for you. So I'm super jealous. I can only imagine how it feels to pick up a console and have over 100 games to be able to play it with right off the bat. But
yeah, that's never happened before.
Yeah, so buy in now if not.
Like, just thinking a lot about of these, my new console.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
you've gone. Pick these up. They're good for media centers too. They play Blu-rays. I don't think PlayStation plays the new Blu-rays, but.
Does anyone actually have Blu-rays anymore? I thought everything was just digital. Digital.
I don't know. They're good media things. Don't consumption buy discs, guys. Boxes. So even if you don't play video games as much, if you're spending $200 on an Apple TV, spend $200 on a PlayStation or an Xbox. You'll thank yourself. But yeah, that's really what I contributed. Sophia contributed basically the whole podcast.
Good job,
and I found one article that I was really interested in talking about. But other than that, what I can talk about...
You ready to talk about some games?
Yes. Let's talk about some games.
Do you want to talk about After Party or Outer Worlds?
Sophia, we have to do the segue.
Sorry. Do the segue.
All right, guys. So we're going to be talking about recent games we've been playing. And by we, I mean I, because Sophia doesn't have most of these games. And we'll talk about that shortly right after this break. Welcome back, guys. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us throughout this podcast. We are actually entering 1 hour and 8 minutes, but you know that could change in editing, so who knows. Anyway, Sophia, I'm so excited to talk to you about the games that I've been playing. I am stupid excited, actually. I haven't even gotten to play so much, but my free time has been dedicated to these games.
I'm excited to share my games too.
You mean like the $2 games?
It's gonna be a fun conversation. The $2 games.
Yeah, didn't you talk about some good deal games a couple weeks back? Ones that were like cheap. I don't think specifically $2, but you're like, these are either free or like, maybe.
Oh, that was ages ago.
Oh, all right, whatever.
I think I already talked about some of them because it was Butterfly Soup and Burger, yeah, and I talked about both of them.
Yeah,
right?
You already spoke about those. But, Sophia, you want to hear about After Party?
Yes, I do. And I actually replayed Oxenfree, so I'm excited to kind of bounce off of those to compare them a little bit.
I'm going
to
tell you about After Party. So... I'm probably 2 hours into the game, maybe a little less, just because a lot of games have been being released, and I'm trying to give all these games my attention. So far, stylistically and like graphic wise and artistic choice, they're gorgeous games. I love the look of their character models. They kind of look like, there's not really harsh lines in their designs. Like, the sets and everything are just fully colored, and just, it's kind of breathtaking when in the beginning, when they take, they first get to hell. And again, I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm just, this is literally the concept of the game. When they first get to hell, they like, and they realize where they are, they do like this pan out where they show like all the places you're probably going to end up going. And it's just, it's breathtaking to see the lights, the colors. Everything has different colors, but since it's in hell and everything has like a red tint to it, so it's pretty. But gameplay wise, we actually talked about this a while ago, Sophia. I remember you brought it up, how people who were playing the games realized that their decisions didn't make that big of a change in the story.
Yes.
I know what people mean by that. Whereas in the game, there was a specific situation where, again, doesn't spoil plot. You're trying to get past a dude, and you have to make a choice to either A, talk to one character to see if he can like invite you into that area, or cause a bar fight and get the bouncer to like leave his post to like you know, break up the fight. You know, either choice you make, you're gonna end up getting up there. So like, and you know, you're gonna diverge from a certain point, but you're gonna make your way back up to that specific spot. And then it's going to be completely linear again until you have to make a different point that keeps you back into that spot, you know? Does that make sense?
The thing is, because I had that in mind when I replayed Oxenfree. Well, my friend replayed and I kind of watched because she's never played it before. And I did realize it was kind of similar where you have to choose who to hang out with and stuff, but in the end, you're all going to meet up again. I think the biggest difference, though, was at the ending in Oxenfree. I don't want to spoil it, but it does change
a little bit.
How the characters live their lives afterwards, because there's these big decisions you can make and stuff like that. And I don't think After Party has that, where at the end it's like 8% of people decided to do this.
Yeah.
And 20% decided this, which led to this, which means like this character does this now instead of this, and these people end up together instead of, or not. And that, yeah, that is something I really like about games. And I would have liked to see that in After Party, because that is a big bit of what made Oxenfree good.
Yeah, so, I mean, I haven't played far enough into it to tell you that, so obviously I can expand on that when I get time to play more, but so far I haven't seen too many crazy game-changing decisions. I did get to this point where I'm trying to help some chick out, and again, no spoilers, but when I'm talking to another character, they say, watch out for her. She could be kind of shifty and like, she kind of screw you over. So like I ended right at my gameplay session at that point. So for all I know, that my next decision could be something big. Like, am I going to believe this person, or am I going to tell this person to go F off and go and do something else? And that might change the game dramatically. You know, from up until this point, I could have had just micro like decisions to make, and now and now this decision, if I'm gonna help this person or if I'm gonna tell them to go screw themselves, like that could be the game-changing element. But again,
that's the thing, because in Oxenfree you didn't know what was going on till the end, so that could definitely be a thing.
Yeah,
with After Party, and we just haven't played it because neither of us have actually finished the game.
Yeah, so but that being said, dialogue's great. The chemistry between the two protagonists, it's so funny. They the one character, the male character, he's kind of like a funny loser, kind of like he's funny, he makes good quips, but he's shy at the same time, and he's awkward, and it's funny in that way. But the female protagonist, she's kind of like, and forgive my language, we've already cursed a couple of times on this episode, but she's kind of like that bitch where she's like, I don't give a crap what everybody thinks about me, or like she'll grab him in a specific situation. She's like, pull yourself together. And then once he's like all put together, she starts having a nervous breakdown. So she's like, so it's funny because she thinks she's a lot tougher than she is. And the dialogue between them is super, they just have great quips, and they bounce and vibe off of each other very well. Like, it makes me want to keep playing just to see what the next thing they're going to say to each other is, which is a great aspect of the game.
Yeah, I think honestly of any game, I think that is in the end what keeps you going is the characters and caring about them. So I think, and that is a good thing that this company does.
Oh yeah, for sure. I look forward to getting farther into the game. Sophia, why don't you talk about another a game you're playing, and then I will go into this little controversy with Pokemon Sword and Shield real quick.
That sounds good. So I wanted to go into Outer Worlds because I finally finished it.
Yes.
And it as good as you think it's going to be. Why? It's not that long.
100%ed it. I don't 100% any games. It's horrible. The only game I've ever...
I was going around and finishing. But that's the thing with Outer Worlds. A big part is 100%ing it. You have to get the kind of the good... Because, spoiler alert, kind of, the endings change.
Yeah, I
depending
know.
Depending on what you've done.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, completing character, your companion's quests will change their ending. And even choices within those quests might change their ending. Like, how you speak to one character and something. If you let one character do this thing. There was one bit where I think it felt a bit unfinished. I think this quest in particular might have been unfinished for some reason.
Yeah.
Because there's one where you can hack into this thing to change something. And it seems like you can do this again because there's an option to do it. But it doesn't actually work. So either they forgot to do it, or they didn't have time, or they just didn't want to do it in the end. But it matters because I agreed to do something thinking I could double cross someone, and then I couldn't, and ended up doing something I didn't want my character to do, and you couldn't not do it after you've accepted, to push like the full game store forward, which is really annoying. So I guess be on the lookout for that. I think you'll notice it when you get to it.
Yeah, I need to play more, to be honest.
Yeah, overall, it was fantastic. I got a good ending, which I'm happy for. I did all the right decisions with my characters. And I think, again, one of the big things with Outer Worlds is the characters that keep you coming back. I'm not there because I care about capitalism. I'm there because I care about Parvati and Ellie and Felix and all the others. So, yeah, it was good. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. And I was really upset when it ended. It felt like a hole was in my heart.
Now, I have a question for you.
Shoot.
They said when they created this game, they had in mind that this game was made to replay. Would you replay it?
No.
You wouldn't?
No,
why not?
I don't like rereading things. I don't like rewatching things. I don't like replaying
things.
I'm
the same thing.
But especially for Outer Worlds, like Skyrim, I replayed loads
because
you could do so many different things.
Are you like offended?
A little bit, yeah.
Apparently,
so
I heard that story is really short too.
But we're not here to talk about how good Skyrim is. Technically for Skyrim, I think you could probably only do the like Civil War quest and you'd at all the Dragon Souls quest and you'd probably end it in a few hours.
Yeah.
But that's not what you're supposed to do. Anyway, I'm not talking about that. But for Outer Worlds, I don't see a point. Like, I got the endings I wanted to do and replaying it wouldn't really change that.
That's fair.
But you wouldn't want to
go in as like a stupid character who's really strong and see how far you could like, you know, dick your way around.
And I was thinking that because I saw you could make your character dumb and that opened up lots of dialogue and stuff. But I think that would lose its appeal after half an hour. because and then after that I just feel like, well, this is the same quest and I'm making the same, in the end you get the same end, especially if you only want to be, or if you only want to get the good endings. Like, yeah, I could replay and get the bad endings, but that's just purposely making the wrong decisions when the game's clearly pointing you in a specific way. So no, I don't think Outer Worlds is actually designed to replay. Not like other games that I've played, other open world games. I think once you've got the good endings, you're kind of, I'm happy with that, and I'm happy with how the game went. As soon as I finished it, I uninstalled it. It didn't even occur to me to replay it.
Oh, you uninstalled it?
I uninstalled it, yeah. Oh. There's no need to redo it.
Oh, okay. Well, interesting. Good to know. I will need to finish it myself and let you know how my experience went. But
I would love to hear that.
Yeah, especially, I think we spec'd our characters similarly, right? Like, smart,
yeah,
but, like,
I'm disappointed. I feel like we should have talked about that and been like, oh, you should do the dumb person, and I'll do the...
You should have done the dumb person. I should have been the smart person, because it would make more sense to be the opposite of what we actually are.
Wow, a self-burn. Those are rare.
Shut up. anyway, so now I want to kind of talk about this. This could have been in the news, but I didn't really want to. It's like nothing pressing, so I didn't want to include it in that sense. But so Pokemon Sword and Shield came out. I played it. I enjoy it. I like it a lot. There's a lot of Pokemon that were cut. There's a controversy around that. I can care less about that right now. I'm just trying to experience and enjoy the game. And the Pokemon that they did select to be in this game really, I think, shined. There were Pokemon I haven't seen in a while that I was like, oh, I remember. I used to like this Pokemon. Or, oh, like, this Pokemon I have never used before. Like, why don't I give it a shot, since there's not, like, I'm not going to be going to the same old team that I normally have. But story-wise, it's good. I think I'm on, like, the third gym. Once again, just haven't had a lot of time to play every single game extensively, so been playing bits and pieces of different games. The Pokemon I'm catching, I find myself going into that open world area, the wild area, Sophia, that basically it's just free range. You see the Pokemon walking around, you catch them in the grass. And every time I have to go through there in order to get to, like, another gym or another town, and I find myself stopping every single time whenever I see a Pokemon I have not caught yet. And they have some Pokemon that are deliberately leveled too high for you to catch wandering around, but once I see the ones that are, like, weaker, and I don't have it yet, I'm stopping and I'm trying to catch all those Pokemon, and overall, I'm having a really great experience. I'm enjoying it. I haven't been excited.
I'm really glad that you like it. Yeah, because you haven't looked forward to it.
Yes, I haven't been excited about a Pokemon game in a while. Probably since Sun and Moon. And even when that came out, they diverged from the whole gym situation where their gyms were actually island challenges, and you had to, I guess, fight Pokemon. It was a whole big thing. I was not really too keen on it. So it's back to see them. It's nice to see them return to formula, but also change things up at the same time. Anyway, that being said, I have just a question about, I guess work ethic or, you know, policies or whatever. I don't know how to really phrase this, but okay. Basically I'm a big fan of the Nintendo podcast that, IGN runs over there. It's called Nintendo Voice Chat. If you're listening to this, odds are you probably already listen to Nintendo Voice Chat, but if you don't, go listen to that. And it's hosted by Casey DeFreitas, and she has a different panel of co-hosts every couple weeks or so, depending on who's available at the time. And I want to say it's Brian Altano, but I could be wrong. I believe when Link's Awakening came out, the remake, Brian Altano was like, I can't review this game and this franchise a little too close to me for me to give it a good critical review. Casey DeFreitas is an avidly known Pokemon fan. everyone knows she loves it. She thinks she, and I love her. She's actually my favorite host out of all the IGN things. So nobody please think I'm trying to cause a problem. I just wanted to start a conversation, see what we think about this stuff.
No one think I'm posing a problem. I just wanted to cause a problem.
I want to start a conversation. So
go ahead. I'm happy to have this conversation.
So Casey ended up reviewing the Pokemon game, and I'm also part of the Nintendo Voice Chat Facebook group, and I saw someone post something that made me, like, think about it, and it was basically saying, hey, if Brian didn't want to slash couldn't review Link's Awakening because he was so close to the franchise, why is it that Casey reviewed Pokemon when she loves the franchise? And that being said, she also did give it a higher score than other media outlets, so she's like, people are like, oh, it shows that she loves Pokemon because she gave it a good score. Meanwhile, the score wasn't even that big of a difference. I think most media outlets were giving it like an 8. Casey gave it like a 9.2. It's not like she gave it a 10 and she was like, this is the best game ever.
Yeah, but I mean,
and
I think even people who are fans should be taken in to consideration, because I feel like for now the Pokemon games are mostly like 75% are made, like 75, you know, like it's aimed for 75% of it is aimed for fans, right? It's not, the fans are the ones playing it. It's not like this is a new franchise. It's for the people who used to love it. So I think that should also be taken into consideration, if anything. Well, it's a good idea.
Most of their games are usually designed for both fans and new people to join. They have each game they have grueling long tutorials. That's actually one of the things they changed in here. You can choose to sit through tutorials. But like they try to make it as accessible for new people as they do for older, longer fans. So they started that conversation. I personally think Casey should have definitely have caught, been able to review it. Especially because Pokemon has a lot of, mechanics and things that a lot of people don't think about that unless you are a fan of Pokemon. So I'm sure there were opportunities for her to try out and test certain things that like would work in the older games, just to see how they function in the new one. And you know, also I think there was just so much controversy that people want it not to succeed, because like they took away the national decks, the graphics weren't as pristine as people expected them to look on a Switch. Like, people wanted to not like this game, and the fact that Casey gave it a good overall review kind of pissed people off, you know. And listen, Casey DeFreitas is one of my favorite journalists out there in general. She's enthusiastic about her work. But at the same time, she also tells it how it is. So if something's not good, she will tell you it's not good. And I have full faith that Casey would have, if the game wasn't good, just because it's Pokemon, she wouldn't just give it, you know, that extra, what is it, clout, like, whatever, like
1.2 stars.
I love her work, I love everything, and it might be me being biased, actually definitely me being biased because she's my favorite, but I don't see what she did, like, her reviewing this game as a problem. I think they chose someone who knew the franchise well to review this game, because the intricacies that go along in the gaming mechanics that normal people would not pick up on. Link's Awakening is an adventure game. You pick up your weapons, you use them, and there's slight puzzles, but anyone can play that. When you're playing a Pokemon game or an RPG role-playing game, that's when it differs, it diverges. You need someone who's familiar with those mechanics, you know? So, I'm just putting it out there. I think there was no problem with a longtime Pokemon fan reviewing a Pokemon game, and the drama surrounding all this kind of made people more angry than it really made it a bigger problem than it really should have been, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, what do you think, Sophia? Do you think that's like, do you think someone else should have recorded? Like, give me your honest opinion.
No, I don't. I mean, like I said, those games are also made for fans, and you need a fan to have some voice in it. It can't just be new people, people who don't really like Pokemon or are non-biased reviewing it, because it's supposed to talk to fans. And if a fan really enjoys it, that means they've done it right. So, no, I agree. She should have been able to. And you know what? It's silly. It's just one rating on one. Like, what? It's just one person's rating and a sea of ratings of reviews and talking about it. What? You shouldn't obsess over one drop in the ocean.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's some kind of, what is it? Like, template that IGN has, like these corporate,
Yeah, it's not like she just pulled the number out of her ass.
Yeah, I'm sure she like looked at all like this outline that she wrote for the review. She probably stared at like the rubric or whatever they use to reference, and she was like, "This is where it's falling for me. This is why I enjoy it." I don't think she was literally like, "I'm gonna give it a 9 point whatever." I don't remember the exact score, but it was a point something. She's like, "I'm sure she was not gonna sit there and be like, I'm gonna give it like a point whatever in addition, just so it looks like I gave it like a fair review." No, that girl has been doing journalism and other media stuff for the longest. She's not gonna half ass a review, especially one for a franchise or a property that she's been a fan of for years, you know. But I agree. Awesome. I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that thought that way. I just wanted to put it out there and see. And obviously, if anybody feels different, feel free to join our Facebook page, post something in there, get a conversation going. I'm genuinely interested in hearing how other people think. Our pages at the Pixels Podcast are for the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I think that's it for right now, right, Sophia?
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook,
yeah,
Twitter.
Yeah. So find us there. Podcast. Message one of the accounts. Post on the Facebook page. But yeah, let us know. Do you have another game, Sophia? Or is that it?
Nope. I've just really finished Outer Worlds, played Oxenfree. Now I've moved on to the Red Streams Club, but I've only played like an hour, so I can't really say.
So maybe you could tell us more about that next week if you have the time.
Definitely. That will be my game for next week.
Cool. So I think this was pretty good. We're at like an hour and a half we recorded. I'm sure that'll be edited down a little bit. But I think we did a good job covering some of the important stuff. I'm sure we've definitely missed stuff from like the last 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, it's been ages.
But again, we should be more consistent from this point on. Once again, I keep saying once again. As time goes by into the holiday season, we should be consistent. We're going to start recording on Sundays, and I'm going to try to edit and post the same days. If our schedules don't work out, maybe we could do a little mini podcast just putting out the news, just so people have current up-to-date information. But look for us. I think our new home is Sundays, right? For the time being?
Yeah, that should work out.
Cool. All right, well, on that note, I think we could wrap things up. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Pixels Podcast. Once again, if you liked anything, if you have any questions, if concerns, comments, leave us a review. Add us on the Facebook page at the Pixels Podcast, Instagram at the Pixels Podcast, and Twitter at the Pixels Podcast. I was your host, Christian Travis, and here with me was Sophia Wood, and you will hear from us next week. Have a great day, guys, and enjoy the coming week. Bye!